Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I bring you greetings today from the Lutheran Friends of the Deaf, the mission outreach arm of the Milneck family of organizations on Long Island, New York. Our text today happens to be the reading that was just read from our lectern, from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. I'm sure that there's a number of you out there today that remember the old TV show by the name of Hee-Haw. Well, you might remember that it featured some musical country stars like Buck Owens, Roy Clark, Grandpa Jones, String Bean, Minnie Pearl, and, well, a numerous other country singers and comedians, as well as various musical guests all over the years. Well, it was pretty much a weekly staple back home in Missouri during those days. And one of its old standbys was a song that went like this: "Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me." I don't know who wrote that song, but there are times in my life when I would guarantee you that the writer knew me, and knew me pretty well. There are days, and sometimes streaks of them, where I'm about like that guy in the old comic strip, Little Abner. You know, he was the epitome of bad luck and misfortune, always going around, you know, with that dark cloud over his head and lightning flashing out of it. But it's not that my misfortune is any different from anyone else's. But sometimes mine seems to, well, it just seems to step up to the next level. You might say it's like getting called up to the major leagues. The major league of misery, that is. Well, the two blind men in our gospel reading today were two of those who received their call up to the major league of misery. And they lived most of their lives with strikes against them. Strike one was where they lived. They lived in a city by the name of Jericho, one of the oldest cities in the world, located hundreds of feet below sea level. A city that boasted of a rich water supply, an extremely hot climate, and a curse. That's right, a curse. If you remember when Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land, the first city that they conquered was Jericho. And after the city's walls came a tumbling down, Joshua pronounced a curse upon that place. He prophesied that when its new foundations would be laid, the builder's oldest son would die. And when its gates were hung, his youngest son would die as well. Well, hundreds of years later, Jericho was rebuilt, and Joshua's curse was fulfilled. Strike two, they were blind. And whether or not they were born blind, we don't know, but we do know that they lived in a time when there was no assistance, you know, public assistance to help those who were disabled. There was no social programs, no braille. There were no seeing eye dogs to show them the way. Strike three, they were limited to begging. The only thing they knew how to do, putting away their pride and discarding their dignity, they did what they knew how to do, ask for charity. Well, now that we've met the blind men from our text with those three strikes against them, let me ask you a question this morning. How is your life going? Are you hitting a lot of home runs these days? Or have you been thrown a strike or two? Are you running the bases through life, or are you walking back to the dugout, dragging your chin in the dust? Life just isn't the way you thought it would be, is it? Disappointed? Discouraged? Are there doubts? Sin? Anger? Greed? Lust? Loneliness? Hate? Oh, they're all there, aren't they? Every single one and more. So how many strikes do you have? Do you see your life like the blind men in our text? A life that is full of gloom, despair, and agony on you? A life full of dreary darkness? You know, living in that dreary darkness, these blind men responded to the commotion that they heard taking place around them. And they cried out with their eyes of faith for mercy. Mercy from the one they had heard about. The one they believed in to give them their sight. They cried out to the Son of David, knowing that they needed his mercy, needed his help, not because they were wicked men, no, but simply because they were men. Men just like us, unable to control the world around them, wanting to silence their cry for mercy. Men just like us who are unable by our own reason or worth to lead ourselves into the light of sight. Men just like us who call out to be heard and attended to by our Savior. You know, even though the crowds around these blind men, they tried hard to silence them, pushing them aside and covering them up, standing in front of them, the Son of David still heard their cry. And he went to them with his compassion and his words of healing. And even in the midst of a world that would silence our cries for mercy, the Son of David comes to us too with compassion and words of healing. He comes to us in the liturgy as we gather together in his house, in his name. He comes to us in his means of grace. He comes to us with his words of healing, his words of forgiveness and life. Jesus asks us that same question. The same question that he asked those blind men. What do you want me to do for you? Simple question. The answer to that question comes from the cross, doesn't it? It comes from the cross as he was being crucified for those men as well as for all men, including you and I. He answered the question on the cross when he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." He answered it again from the cross when he cried out, "It is finished." The complete sacrifice. compassionate sacrifice he needed to offer was finished and complete. Hey, you remember those strikes we were just talking about a few minutes ago? Now, maybe you kept tally how many strikes you had. Well, you can forget about it. Forget about all of them. Because the Son of David has heard your cry for mercy. And he has forgiven them all through his compassionate sacrifice for you on the cross. You know, just as the Son of David turned his face toward those men that day, so also he turns his face towards you and I, making it shine upon us and giving grace to us, looking upon us with his favor and giving us peace. Amen. And now may the peace of God, that is above all of our human understandings, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.